Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey everybody, this is Ryan. Welcome to the Adulting with Asperger's podcast. Today we have a conversation with a gentleman named Jean-Francois, or JF, from Montreal. He's, as you'll hear, he is in his 50s and has been dealing with depression for years and has been doing research and found that he is autistic, he's on the spectrum, and he... At the time of this phone call, he's going tomorrow to see his psychiatrist and psychologist to talk to them about autism, about Asperger's. So, an interesting conversation. I want to apologize to JF. I don't know how it happened, but the first maybe 10 minutes of our conversation got cut off. It didn't record. So... which is really a bummer because it was really interesting, the stuff you were talking about, and I apologize, but so anyway, for those listening, it just sort of jumps in the middle of the conversation. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there, but we do pick up and talk about a bunch of interesting things. So yeah, I hope you enjoy. This is our second conversation with someone else out there. We talked to Jerry in Texas last time, and now JF in Montreal, and I'm really grateful for you guys taking the time, and I really appreciate the insights and the clarity and everything that I'm getting from these conversations with you, as well as just the feeling of sort of camaraderie of just knowing that there are other weirdos like me in the world. But yeah, I appreciate that. So anyway, everyone, enjoy the conversation. Thanks again, JF, for taking the time. Good luck tomorrow. And, you know, we'll all be, as we talked about in the podcast, sending thoughts and prayers. And, yeah, we'll follow up with you again next time or at a later date. And, yeah, anyway, so here it is, everybody, my conversation with JF. Thanks very much.
The thing is that, shit, man, that's me. That's me, so.
Yeah.
It's freaky. It's like, okay, where's my free will?
Mm-hmm.
It's like my behavior, my actions are governed by this thing.
Yeah.
If it does turn out to be this, which I'm pretty much sure it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I had I talked about that same experience. Like I read a few articles and written by people with Asperger's, and I just was reading them thinking I could have written this, you know, like everything they talked about was exactly how I felt, how I thought, what my experience were, and then I think I've talked about this book a bunch, but the Philip Wiley book, Late Diagnosis of Asperger's. I picked that up a couple months ago, and I swear every page I was just like, oh my God, this is me. This is my life. Like, this is every single thing he said in that book. I was like 90%+ of it I could relate to 100%, you know?
I'm having the same experience with another book. I'm going to read like 5-6 pages and I have to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just too much.
Which book is that?
Wait, I'll put you for a second on speakerphone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just loading the book. Recognizing Asperger's Syndrome, Autism Affecting the Eyes. Quite simple.
Yeah.
Recognizing that. Yeah. The author, if you want the author.
Sure.
Trevor Patton.
Okay. I'll look that one up. Is that in French or English?
It's in English.
Okay. Yeah. And what was, just so I get it again, what was the name of that condition you talked about, the word?
Dyssynchrony, DYSSYNCHRONY.
Okay, dyssynchrony. I'm going to look that up. That sounds pretty interesting.
When I looked for the English translation, I found the word. The word exists, but all it talked about was heart-related problems.
Oh, okay.
And the theory, it's a French psychiatrist who came up with this theory, and it's not officially recognized. And it has nothing to do with Asperger's,
because yeah.
Those kids, they have a normal development when it comes to emotional and motricity. It's just that they have a superior development. Of their intellectual capacities.
Yeah. Well, it's. I mean, I find that fascinating because, you know, as we go down these rabbit holes and learn and research and different videos I've watched and things I've read, and it's just I find it fascinating the different other conditions that a lot of people with Asperger's have. Like, you know, it's very common for people with Asperger's to also have ADHD. Like I think it's a really high percentage, like 80% or 90% or something crazy like that, which I think I have too. Like, I'm fully sure of it, actually. And then, you know, like anxiety and depression and other things are common, I'm finding. And, you know, so I'm curious about this other thing and, like, if that might be something, you know, we'll see with other people too. I don't know. But so one of the reasons we decided to talk is because you messaged me, you posted on our Facebook group that you're going tomorrow, and I thought, God, this is such a big day, and I kind of wanted to talk about that, because at the support group that I go to, one of the people I was speaking with there that has been through this diagnosis process a couple years ago, and I think she was in her 40s, and she gave me some advice and said, you know, when you go to these meetings with these doctors, like, take a copy of your AQ test, like, go through some of these books and photocopy the checklist and highlight the parts that apply to you, and so that you go in there with armed with information, because they might, when you walk in, their assumption is that you do not have Asperger's, you know what I mean, and they're gonna, like, I don't know. I found this with my own doctor when I went and talked to my GP about it and said I want a referral to a psychiatrist. I think I have Asperger's, and he was just pretty dismissive and kind of went, well, why do you think you have it? And I kind of rattled off a few of the symptoms, and he's like, well, you know, everybody feels like that sometimes. And so he just sort of figured, I don't know what he thought, but was very dismissive about it. And I was sort of expecting that, but at the same time, it made me feel like part of my personality, and I think it's common with people with Asperger's, is that I feel like I can be convinced of things by other people relatively easily, you know, and I can walk into a room knowing what I want to say, but then someone else can have an idea, and like they'll just sort of railroad me out, and then I walk out of the room, and I'm like, I don't even know what just happened, but I didn't get to say any of the things that I know are true, and I just, it was like they sort of convinced me that I was imagining things, and then I'm like, but I know I'm not. Like, what just happened? Because it's like, I don't know how to sort of stand up for myself or how to engage in a conversation without being sort of pushed over, you know?
Not only that, it's easy for, well, I'll speak for myself, but it's easy for me to start doubting. If somebody else doubts,
yes,
something I say, it's easy for me to doubt too, because I'm able to see every damn possibilities at the same time.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah,
I know that there is place for doubt. I know that.
Sure.
So that's why tomorrow morning when I get in my, because I'm meeting both psychologists and psychiatrists at the same time, when I'll be walking in that office, it's going to be, okay, this is the only subject on the agenda today. And if you disagree with that, or if you try to dismiss it in any which way, like, tell me right now, because I'm walking out.
Yeah.
I'm walking out, and I'm going to the private sector, and I'll pay to get it if I have to.
Sure. Now, how have you talked to them about this before?
No, because the previous psychiatrist I was seeing, I have a friend who has an autistic kid, and we would talk about what his child was going through, how he seemed to feel, and I could relate a lot, and I thought I had way too much insight. And my friend said, hey, maybe you should get tested for autism. I thought he meant it as a joke, so I just like put that in the back of my mind, and I never really gave it any serious thought.
Yeah.
But at one time, I mentioned it to my previous psychiatrist, and she told me, no, if you had been autistic, you would never have had a depression.
You would not have had depression?
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't. And when I learned about the numbers, you know, with that rabbit hole I was talking about?
Yeah.
When I learned about the numbers, I got like a mix of a meltdown, and I got so fired up, so full of like anger and rage.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What were the numbers? Like, just generally, like, you don't have to.
I saw that on a TED Talk, and the numbers came from the UK. But the proportion of depression is the most prominent mental health problem that is diagnosed in Asperger's.
Yeah.
In people with Asperger's.
Yeah.
And they have like twice or three times the number of suicide attempts than neurotypical people have.
Yeah, I can believe it.
So, I was like, I won't repeat all that went through my mind, but
yeah.
Mm.
I just find that surprising, because it's every single person I've talked to with Asperger's is like deals with depression and anxiety. Like, it seems like those are the two big things that everybody has, you know.
I've known like people who have kids who are autistic, but they're really deep on the spectrum, really far on the spectrum. But I've never known anybody who had Asperger's. So the only image I have is Rain Man or something that comes close to that.
Yeah. I know. I think that's one of the... I think I talked about this with someone the other time. Like, that was one of the things that prevented me for years from seeking this out, because I would read these articles and think, God, like, it sounds just like my brain, like articles written by people with Asperger's. But then I thought, well, I don't feel like I'm like Rain Man. Like, I can walk around the world, I can function, I can talk to people, I can, like, I don't feel comfortable doing it, but I'm not like, I'm not, I don't have autism to the effect of like I'm sitting in a chair rocking, you know what I mean? Or like I can't speak. Right. Like, I'm able to, I can go to the grocery store and buy bread, you know? Like, so I always kind of thought, man, well, that's what everybody thinks that autism is. So if I have it, like, there was part of me that was in denial myself, but another part of me that just always thought, like, well, even if I tried to, you know, accept this myself, it's like the people in my life won't believe me, you know what I mean? Because the well, I guess one of the things that we all do so well is masking, you know?
Yeah, in all my life, I've been told I was awkward or inadequate. So
yeah.
For me, that was it. Yeah, I'm socially awkward, socially inadequate. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, and I was always kind of told, like, I'm kind of a weirdo or I'm different or... And like, same with you. Like, I have a high intelligence. Like, I didn't join Mensa, but I went online and took all the tests and passed and was like, okay, you know, like, I was in enriched classes when I was a kid. Like, so I just always thought, oh, I'm just kind of weird. I'm eccentric. I'm kind of just that kind of, you know, gifted weirdo sort of personality, you know? But it's funny because other things, like, I had somebody years ago that knew me in high school and she's like, oh, you were such a snob in high school. And I'm like, because, and I'm like, why did you think I was a snob? She's like, well, you never talked to me. And I was like, I was terrified.
Yeah. Snob, pretentious, because you don't smile, you don't look at people.
Yeah.
And they're, yeah, yeah, absolutely. In bars, going out in bars, trying to meet people.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, had I known you weren't a snob, I would have come and talked to you before.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, like, that's, I had a pretty serious issue with alcohol for many, many years. And that was why, because it was the only thing I could do. Like, I got this reputation as, like, the party guy, like, the guy that's always drinking, you know? So it gave me, like, a license to sort of be, like, a little bit wild and silly and crazy, and because I could just be like, well, I'm just the wild drinking guy, you know? And it was the only way I could... I either had to be hiding in a corner or the center of attention. Like, I couldn't exist in that sort of comfortable middle ground where everyone else is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like, I'm either in the shadows or I'm on center stage, you know?
Yeah, and when you get to that, like, third drink, it's like, where for me, it was like bliss. It felt like my brain went on vacation.
Yes. It's funny you mentioned, like, that, because, yeah.
You're slowing down at the pace of everybody around you.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that, because I used to always say the same thing. It was like that sort of, the third beer is when it's like the magic starts.
Yeah.
And then from like the third to like the fifth one, like the third, fourth, and fifth one, it's like the magic hour, you know? And then it starts to get messy.
I probably have some Irish blood in me, because it gets me, for me, it will get messy around the 10th or 12th beer.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. But then I go from, like, a very happy person to totally drunk.
Yeah.
Like this, like in an instant.
Yeah. Wow. So are you, I hope you can, you don't have to answer if I ask any personal questions, but are you, like, married or live with anyone or have kids or any of that, or?
No, and, like, this makes me, like, a specialist in being awkward and weird and different, because I'm gay, so I don't have kids.
Okay,
at my age, very few guys my age, have kids.
Yeah.
The longest relation I've been in lasted 10 years.
Okay.
We break up like 5 years ago, but we're still roommates because we're best friends.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that relationship, and not because of him, but that relationship could have ended after 2 years. If I look back at my pattern regarding relationships, normally after 4 months, I'm bored.
Yeah.
What am I doing in this thing? I have to get out of it.
Yeah.
And, or I can last up to 2 years, three, maybe four, but that's the maximum.
Yeah.
I'm not, I've made a cross on that.
Huh.
I'm really, meeting people at the store, the guy or the lady behind the counter when I pay, that's, for me, that's social interaction. That's plenty of interaction for me.
Yeah.
Or I'll get my social whatever at work. But the rest of the time, I'm totally fine being on my own.
Yeah.
I find that interacting with people is an easy way for me to do it, is online gaming.
Okay, yeah.
I'm an avid gamer, and I've discovered multiplayer online 3 years ago.
Okay.
And that I love.
Yeah.
So you can just log out whenever you feel like it, when you're done, and you go online, you start playing. If other people are there, you get together, you play, you have fun, and then that's it. So that's enough for me.
Yeah. Do you, when you're playing, do you end up interacting with the same people?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
That's kind of interesting. Are you conversating during? I'm not a gamer, so I'm not familiar. While you're gaming, are you talking or typing to each other? How does that work?
We're talking.
Okay, so you got headphones and a microphone on, sort of thing.
Yeah. I guess it's making friends the normal way you play. You find that you play well with such and such person, you keep playing with them, and you get to talk, slowly. You get to talk a little bit about different subjects and learn a bit more about them, and they ask you things. But the pressure is not on the conversation.
Yeah.
It's really, you're there to play.
Yeah. That's kind of nice, right? You've got the conversation is secondary to, and I guess a lot of the conversation is about what you're doing in the game too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Are there other people with autism in the gaming world that you've come across, or?
There is one that I suspect. Yeah. I've yet to talk to him about it.
Yeah.
That I'm closer to, we have a mutual friend, I'm closer to that woman than I am to him.
Yeah.
So I'll probably talk to her about it first.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he is. Absolutely.
Yeah. So back to tomorrow, and I'll try not to keep you for too much longer, but back to tomorrow, do you have anything planned in your head that you want to present or talk about, or anything written down or just in your head about it?
Yeah, I've taken notes from what I've read, what I've seen, videos I've seen, talk, mainly TED Talks. There's also your podcast and one that Jerry, I think, the guy from Denver?
Yeah.
Texas? Yeah.
Yeah.
He talked about AspieCast.
Yeah.
That was the first podcast I listened to about Asperger's. And it's really special because the guy talks about all the dirty, gritty stuff of Asperger's. You know, it's not like all the TED Talks are Asperger's are special. They're good. They're great. They're, you know.
Yeah.
So freaking positive.
Yeah.
And most of the time you feel like shit inside.
Yeah.
And that guy only talks about that. So
okay.
It gets depressing after a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
But it, for me at that time, that was the important thing I needed to hear.
Yeah.
To hear that somebody was going through the same things, that I was normal.
Yeah.
You know, it's my normal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't talk, at least at this point, I don't talk about Asperger reality and normal reality. I'm talking about, I have a different normal.
Yeah.
I have a different normal, and this is important to me in the context of working on depression.
Yeah.
Because the base is not the same as a regular person.
Yes.
You know, like socially, asking me to diversify my activities is not a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, on this, I'm typical Asperger, and I'll get focused on something. And I will go deep, deep, deep in it. Yeah. And I will start like everybody does that. You know, yeah. If a subject interests you, you learn everything you can about it. But no, yeah. I learned recently that that's not the case. Everybody does not do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll go around, when I'm done with a subject, I'll choose something else. And the pattern will repeat. I'll go deep inside, get all the information I can, and then jump to the other.
Yeah. I'm the same. So, I've got like sections in my bookshelves that are, it's like a whole section of like, oh, that was the like 2 years I was really into this subject, and I've got like 30 books I read about it, and now I don't care about that subject at all, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just, so, it's all in sections. Yeah. And I really relate to what you said there about like, you know, like, trying to deal with depression, and you can't deal with depression if you have Asperger's and you're not also looking at it from the perspective of having an Asperger's brain, right? Because I, you know, I'm sort of the same. Like, I've had depression and anxiety and all this stuff my whole life, and trying to like treat the depression is not working, because you, if you're trying to treat the depression as if it's depression occurring in a neurotypical brain, then it can't, you know. And that book I was talking about, the Philip Wiley book, he talks about that too. Like, people, like a lot of people with Asperger's end up, you know, being alcoholics or on drugs, and people will try to treat the substance abuse issue without knowing the person has Asperger's. And it's like, it's, you're not going to cure your addiction unless you know where it's coming from, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel the same about, like, my depression. Like, I feel like right now I'm opening a window to, like, oh, I can actually maybe get to, like, the root of that depression, as opposed to just sort of battling it on the surface that I've been doing for so long, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The differences are so subtle yet extremely important. Like, I feel that what is going to change regarding my my therapy, is like, now I'm going to be able to tell the doctor, okay, don't try to make me into a roast beef. The only ingredients I have can turn out into a cake.
Yeah.
I'm
not, yeah.
I'm never gonna be a roast beef. I'm gonna be a freaking delicious carrot cake. Yeah.
I'm just stepping away from the computer for 1 second here. Don't go anywhere. Sorry, Jeff, I'm back.
No problem.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Like, Like, yeah, the ingredients are what they are, right?
Exactly, yeah. And this is the reason, like, I got to thinking, if there was a cure, would I want to be cured?
Yeah.
No, a cure would only make me, it sounds bad when I say it like that, but a cure would only make me ordinary.
Yeah.
I don't want to be ordinary.
Yeah.
I managed to work out and to be this sometimes eccentric weirdo.
Yeah.
And I love it. I like that.
Yeah, we talked. I guess you heard the conversation with Jerry, because we talked about that too, and you know, same thing. Like, I kind of feel like I wish I could cure the depression and the anxiety and the sensory processing issues and the things that make it hard. My executive functioning is terrible, and I have issues with like the administrative side of my life is constantly just a disaster.
I relate so much to that when you were talking about paying bills, filing tax reports.
Yeah.
And at one moment in one of the episodes, you said, if I don't have it in front of me, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to people, like, I didn't forget, it wasn't there. And I heard you say that, and now I'm using it every day.
Yeah. Well, I used to have, like a few years back when I was living by myself out in Vancouver, I bought, like, in my kitchen, I worked from home at the time, and my kitchen was, like, my office, and I bought, like, a couple of, like, giant bulletin boards and put them up on the wall, and I'd put the calendar for the entire year up on, like, I'd buy a calendar and take it apart, like, cut each page out and put the whole year up, and then I would, like, every time a bill came, I'd have to, like, highlight the due date and, like, pin it to the wall, you know, and it was, like, and there's post-it notes everywhere, and it was, like, that was the only way I could kind of have a picture in my mind of, like, everything that was going on in my world, was to, like, see all of it on the wall in front of me at once, and like, look at it every day, because as soon as I get a bill and it gets, like, folded up and, like, tucked into a folder or something, it's, like, it disappears, and, you know,
yeah.
I had a silly story, but, like, my home internet service, I'm 3 months behind on paying that bill right now, because, like, I just forget when it's due, and I set an alert on my phone, and then I don't know why that didn't work, and I was calling them, trying to get them to mail me a paper bill, because I'm like, I need the bill in the mail every month so I see it, and then I pay it, you know? And it just was this hassle, and I finally yesterday, like, was, like, on the phone with them, like begging for, and they're finally like, okay, we'll mail you a bill every month, and I'm like, thank you, like, because this just keeps happening. I keep, like, 3 times a year, I get behind, like, 2 or 3 months, and then they call me, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll go online and I'll pay it right now, but, like, I don't know why I can't ever get that piece together, you know?
I'm the same. I keep, like, calling, oh, please, 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 don't cut me off. I forgot to pay, I'm going to pay it now, don't cut me off. And then each time the person asks me, can you tell me why you're late? Or what? And my only answer is, no. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could say, I forgot. I could say that, but that's not what happened. It's not the same as forgetting something.
No, it's not the same. And it's frustrating for, I think, like, when we're talking about this, I feel like if I'm talking to a neurotypical person about this, like, I sound like I'm just a crazy person, or like I'm making excuses.
Yeah.
Like, I sound like I'm just making excuses, or I'm lazy, or I'm just disorganized. And I guess I am disorganized if I'm not organized, but I don't feel like it's the same. I feel like it's just this weird thing that happens with my brain where it literally just disappears. It's no longer there. And it, I don't know how to, I don't know any way to like really work around that other than trying to like I said, keep something in front of my eyes, you know, so that I can see it. But anyway, it's like, I'm so glad to talk to people that can relate, because I feel like I'm just a lunatic when I talk about this with other.
Oh, it felt so good hearing you say that. Oh my God, such a weight off my shoulder.
It's like, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, I'm 43, and I'm like, I've my entire life, I've never been able to get this together. And it's not, I mean, sometimes I've had money issues, but sometimes when I'm working and I'm fine for money, I still can't do it on time. And it's not even that the money isn't there, it's just, I don't know.
Oh yeah, I'll be like, oh yeah, I need to do it. And then my brain will take me somewhere else. And it's just like you said, for it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It's like reading or listening to podcasts. It will bring up an idea or a thought, my brain's going to be wandering in another direction completely.
Yeah.
But I know afterwards, when I come back to whatever I was doing, I know that I was still listening to podcasts. I was still watching TV. I was still reading.
Yeah.
But it just never entered my mind because I was busy thinking about something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Weird.
It is. So, wow, man. I mean, it feels really good to talk to you. I know it wasn't easy, and I appreciate you taking the time.
It's harder for you. You have the responsibility.
I have to, I have the responsibility of coming up with better questions than just say hello.
One thing that I they often talk about one of the problems I have is calling it, I have a problem with phone calls.
Okay, yeah.
So I need to call a dentist, like fast, which I did. I have my appointment. But for the last 2 years, I've been like losing teeth. And I have this hillbilly look right now. That's not very good. Switch from what I was saying. I don't remember where I was going.
Yeah.
But yeah. I guess I had a problem pronouncing a word because of those teeth that I'm missing. Yeah. But no idea what I was talking about.
I'm trying to think what could have been. Yeah. Now, like, is there anything else that you want to discuss, or anything like about tomorrow you're still thinking about that we haven't talked about, or?
No, right now I'm just, my mind is just going through every possible outcome.
Yeah.
And I'll know tomorrow when I get there tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Until then, I'm just going to have high anxiety, and this is the only, it won't leave my mind until tomorrow.
Sure. Well, I hope you're able to get some sleep at least, but.
Oh yeah, there's no problem with that.
Yeah, but I'm glad we got to talk, especially at this time. I know it's high anxiety, but it's this process that we're going through is so interesting because we've talked about before, but the focus. The autism conversation in general in society is really focused on kids, right? And and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because it is what it is. But there are so many adults our age who sort of slipped through the cracks or slipped through the system and didn't get that diagnosis when we were kids and have kind of lived our whole lives and struggled with all these different things. And then we're, you know, in our 40s, 50s, whatever, going, okay, we start researching on our own. Like something happens, like we read an article or we watch a movie or something where we see, a lot of it, it's like we read an article by someone with Asperger's and we go, oh my God, that's me. And then we start researching and then all of a sudden we're like, oh, this is it. And then we have to start going to these professionals to get a diagnosis. And that can be such a tricky thing because A, there's a lot of doubt out there that like...
Yeah, it's like, am I hypochondriac?
Yeah, like, are we making it up? Are we imagining things? Or yeah. are they thinking that we're a hypochondriac or we're making shit up? And then there's also, I find that the sort of cruel irony is that people with this condition, we can be so bad at navigating the system that it's like it feels so daunting to even try to like make those calls and make those appointments and go in and do it because it's just so difficult for us to do that stuff. Do you relate to any of that or?
Yeah, totally. An image, there's a comedian here who came out as an Asperger's a couple of years ago, and the image he uses when dealing with neurotypicals in general, and especially when you have to go through what you just said.
Yeah.
Forgot the word. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
And I think that image is extremely appropriate. He said, it's like watching the movie in slow motion. It's like there's somebody in front of you explaining something, and it's so slow compared to all that's going on in your brain while you're listening to that person.
Huh.
So that's what makes it easy to just lose focus and turn to something more interesting, turn to something else, or just stop navigating through complicated procedures when you're dealing with the government.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Interesting. That's a comedian that said that?
Yeah.
What, do you remember his or her name? Or?
Yeah, his name, he's French speaking. His name is Louis, L-O-U-I-S.
Yeah.
He only used his the first letter of his last name, so Louis T. Louis T.
Okay.
He made a documentary about it. I'll send you a link if you want.
Oh, that'd
be
great.
I'll post the link on the Facebook page.
Thank you. I'd love to see
it's
that.
It's in French, though.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll have to brush up on my French a bit, or maybe I'll find a subtitled version or something. But. That's cool. Well, hey, can we, last thing I'm kind of wondering, like, I want to get you to talk about if you can, is like, so you've done all this research yourself, the Asperger's diagnosis sounds to you like the right fit, or a right fit, possibly with other things,
I've done the test, the AQ test?
AQ, yeah.
Okay, there's only one test that you're talking about, but the ones I did, there's like four different tests.
Yeah.
Evaluating different aspects of it.
Okay.
And I scored extremely high.
Yeah.
The one specific to Asperger's, I scored 46.
Yeah.
And like, that stops at 45.
And what, sorry?
But the Asperger's on a possible score of 50.
Yeah.
You have neurotypical will range between this and that. And
yeah.
Asperger's, I don't remember the exact number, but it's between like, let's say, I don't know, 30 and 45.
Okay.
And I scored 46.
Okay.
So this and the one about friendships and relationships, this one I'm like way, way above even Asperger's.
Okay, yeah.
So, in my mind, there's no doubt.
Yeah. So what... Go ahead.
Yep. I almost fear that I read too much about it and that I'll be too technical when I talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility that I'll be more up to date than my doctor is on the subject?
I have that same worry. Like, I worry, like, I've done so much research that I worry that I'll walk in there and sound like I'm reciting from a textbook or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because it's just the way I'll speak. I'll be like, well, this is this and this is that and this is that, and I'll be like, oh my god, I don't know if I'll sound like a human being or just like a you know, like a dictaphone or something.
And I feel like right now, hearing my voice, I feel like I sound normal, you know, and in public, I feel like I sound normal. Mm-hmm. But as I said, I'm experiencing very high anxiety.
Yeah.
So most of the time on the surface, I'll be like this calm water, you know, a lake with no wind. And
yeah.
Water is all flat, calm, and nice. But inside, I feel like a pot of boiling water.
Yeah. I feel the same way. It's so, like, refreshing to hear, because I feel... Like, I was talking to someone the other day about this and like, the anxiety part of it. And I was saying, you know, it's not like I have anxiety attacks. It's like I just live in a constant state of low-level anxiety that sometimes... moves up and down, but it's never gone. I'm never not anxious. You know, like, I'm never not stressed. I'm never completely free from the depression. It's like all that stuff is just sort of always there, walking along with me everywhere I go. It just, there are flare-ups of it at different times. Like any normal human, you just go through, you have situations that give you higher levels of anxiety, but it's just, it's never not there. I'm even just normal things like going to work. Like I drive to work, and the whole drive there, it's like I'm talking myself down from my anxiety. And it's like, I don't know why, because I'm fine. Like I know how to do my job. You know what I mean? Like there's no real reason to be anxious. It's just, I'm always worried about something like what people are going to say, or if I'm going to say the wrong thing, or if a situation's going to happen, I'm not going to know how to deal with it, or just there's the anxiety of just being in a work environment where I have to try to understand what everybody's doing and saying and feeling and thinking, and that just is so hard, I guess. It's just, that's the anxiety part of it, you know.
It sometimes makes me wonder, am I schizophrenic or Asperger's?
Yeah, well,
my
I guess...
works too much.
Yeah.
I don't hear voices, so I guess I'm good.
Yeah. I don't that often. I have once or twice, but not often enough to make me worry about it. I had a line. I used to write music, and I had a line once in one of my songs. I said, I hear voices in my head, and they tell me I'm not crazy.
Oh, man, I wish I had those.
Yeah, right? Like, all the voices in my head are going, you're fine, man. Don't worry about us. You're good. Oh, so last question I have for you is, what do you hope to accomplish? Like, if you get a diagnosis of Asperger's or autism spectrum disorder, or you know, like, do you have a goal in mind or a set of goals? Like, what do you hope to accomplish with sort of making it like an official diagnosis?
First of all, I want to establish a new baseline of what my normal is. I'll spend almost all day long having a headset on, listening to podcasts or to music, but always cutting myself off of the surroundings.
Yeah.
And if I look at it as me as a neurotypical, this would be extremely weird.
Yeah.
If I look at it from the viewpoint of an Asperger, that would be normal. So I wouldn't have to bother with it. I wouldn't have to think about it. I'm at my age, I don't give a shit about what people think about it.
Yeah.
So, but I want to be able to feel good about my normal self. So I want to establish this new baseline of normal.
Yeah.
That fits me.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I want to go back to work as fast as possible.
Yeah. And you said you've been off 3 years?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, would being diagnosed, like, would that give you access to, like, any sort of programs, like work programs or treatment programs or things that could help you get back into work sooner? Or how does that, or have, like, assistance or anything?
Yeah, probably the insurance. My insurer would help with that to make sure that they don't have to pay for my salary longer than necessary.
Yeah.
But it's like reassuring because before thinking of myself as an Asperger's, I had no idea how I could go back to work and how I, you know, I'm not up to date. I work on communications, web, social media.
Yeah.
And it's like 3 years is like a century, you know.
Sure.
Everything changes so fast.
Yeah.
So, but now I know that if I go back, I have pretty good idea of how much time I would need to get myself up to date.
Yeah.
And like, I wouldn't, it would be like, okay, give me this amount of time to just focus on relearning to do my job again.
Yeah.
Which is like, we're talking about weeks here, not even months.
Okay. Yeah.
And it would allow me to set up the rules with confidence and not having to rely on other people who are always there to, you know, like HR, who are supposed to help you, but they have no idea how to deal with the person who comes back from depression, let alone the person who would come back with a an Asperger diagnosis.
Yeah.
So I know that I would be the one person to know how to do that.
Yeah.
Does it sound strange?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. No, I get it. All right. Well, yeah. Well, good luck, man. This is, I guess we'll wind it down, but I really appreciate you taking the time, and I'm going to be thinking about you tomorrow. And
thanks.
And sending you good vibes, whatever that's worth.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, exactly. Thoughts and prayers. and yeah, maybe we can.
Yeah, I'll post something on Facebook after, letting you know how it went.
Yeah.
So I hope this talk is useful. Most of the time, I feel like I'm rambling.
No. I've enjoyed every second of it, so thank you. And I'm sure, you know, the 8 or 9 people who listen to this podcast will appreciate it. But that's, you know,
just don't stop. You're good at it.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I want, you know, it'll keep going. It'll keep growing, but it's all good. I mean, I'm not. Yeah, I say that jokingly, but honestly, like it's to me. You know, here's the cliche, it's quality, not quantity, and it's true. It's just like, it's the people like yourself and Jerry the other day, like just having these conversations already I'm just like, tells me that this is a path that I want to be on right now, you know, doing this. So I appreciate you taking the time, and yeah, wish you the best of luck tomorrow, and yeah, let's keep in touch, and maybe we'll do this again down the road somewhere.
Cool.
All right.
Appreciate all the work you put in doing this thing, so thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, thank you. Bonsoir and good luck tomorrow.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Bonsoir. Bye-bye.
Okay, everyone, that was a conversation with Jean-Francois in Montreal. Thanks for taking the time to do that. And yeah, he's going in tomorrow to talk to a psychiatrist and a psychologist about his Asperger's / autism. And yeah, we'll follow up with him later. And I hope you all enjoyed that conversation or got something out of it. And I know I did. I really enjoy getting to, I don't know if enjoy is the right word, but I appreciate a lot, and I'm grateful for getting to speak to people who are going through similar things, and you know, it's refreshing when somebody says something and you're like, me too, and you say something and they're like, me too, and you're like, oh my god, I'm not by myself. Like there are other people out there who've experienced these things and these thoughts and feelings and this way of being in the world and everything else. So anyway, thanks again for listening. Check the Facebook page and the Instagram at Adulting with Asperger's. And like I said, we've got a private Facebook group started. So look for that on Facebook, Adulting with Asperger's. It's a private Facebook group just for people, adults on the spectrum, to have private conversations, support each other, share articles, you know, whatever else. You know, that's a conversation that's in private, so it's just for us. You know, I've got a few people I've heard from who are not out yet to their friends and family, so they appreciate having that. That's, you know, where that idea came from, to make this private group that we could talk, you know, where people didn't have to worry that on a public Facebook page somebody they know might see it. So there it is. Check that out, and please share the podcast, tell your friends, rate it on whatever app you use to listen to, and leave comments and all that stuff. That is appreciated. That's how it's going to get out there, by you all who are listening, doing that stuff. That'll help get it out there, and that's appreciated. And yeah, if you are an adult, either diagnosed or undiagnosed, or in the process of being diagnosed and all that stuff with Asperger's, with autism spectrum disorder, high functioning autism, whatever you want to call it, please reach out. And if you would be interested in talking to me for this podcast, I would love to talk to you. So until next time, thanks again. Peace, love, Asperger's. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.